This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I mean, one of the things I kept observing through the film was the landscape, the attention to landscape, whether it's the establishing shot that you have, some of the aerial shots with helicopters arriving, but also the car driving by, sometimes captured again on the aerial shot, but others on the ground, but also of the party folks with the county commissioner biking on the road. And I was curious, I mean, it's certainly about radio protecting the homeland against radioactive contamination, and how much of the homeland is the landscape, I wondered. And so that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, if those kind of patterned shots throughout the film, if that was in a way intentional, and with what kinds of connotations. The other thing, and that pivotal moment that you showed us where you stopped once about the conversation Hans is having with his wife about what should I do, and the kind of comparison to mushrooms. She tells him to be cautious. And it seems like Hans is cautious, and he's also uncertain about this new technology, the nuclear processing plant. And but again and again, in very pivotal scenes, when he has to think about whether he wants to go ahead with the project or not, every time it seems that in that moment of uncertainty, he starts getting against the plan, partly because of the way it's being forced on him, whether it's the kind of almost like the construction of the watchtower being stopped, whether it's a certain kind of law, which is kind of the regulation is again like almost taken away. Laws are rewritten. And it seems that hastiness, that too decisiveness about this, the political and the bureaucratic decision making, more than perhaps the technology itself, which seems very uncertain, is at those very narrative different points. It seems really threaded together in the narrative, that aspect of how the decision making about nuclear energy issues seem to be somewhat exceptional. That is, like the state creates this kind of exception about them. And I was curious to just hear you both speak a bit about the landscape, but also these pivotal scenes about the decision making, where rules seem to be just always broken in the name of nuclear energy.
I start with this landscape. Yeah, it was very important for me to show the landscape, because you know it's a very poor area in Germany, and the landscape, it's Bavaria, but it's not this, you know, this touristic Bavaria with your beer and festival and mountains. It is poor, and it's also not so many colors. Yeah, the wood is not so impressive. It's just always the same trees. Yeah, the earth is brown. You know, it's not so spectacular, but it's very deep, and it's a mirror to the people. And the people are also very, they don't talk so much. They are deep, they think, yeah? And sometimes people from other parts from Bavaria said, oh, they are not so intelligent, you know, they have nothing to say. Yeah, but it depends on this landscape in which they grown up. And it was important for me to show this fact, because Hans, you said it also, he didn't start this way, his development, because he knows so much about the risks of nuclear energy. I don't know if he's really concerned about this protest, but he feels that something's going wrong, and these things are a big risk for his home and for this landscape. So he come to the point to start his protest on another way, on an intuitive an intuitive way, not the ideological way.
Yeah.
And this is important, and this is also the deep power of this movement over 7 years, that so many different groups come together. People who never thought about political engagement or something like this. Normal people from the landscape, but also people from ecological groups or something like this. It was a very heterogeneous group. But the deep power that hold them together was this, I think, this emotional power I try to describe. And yeah, it was one of the biggest protest movements in the German history after the war, and it's also the turning point for me for a real new German identity. It was the identity for civil rights, to protect civil rights, and to create a new Germany. Not before, it was often, I think, a Germany which have to, have to confrontate the older generation with the cruels and all these things from the Nazi time. Yeah, it was more, a fight against the old things or the old generation, and this movement here, this ecological movement, this anti-nuclear power movement, I think it was really for West Germany, it was a kind of rebirth of a new German identity until today. This is also the reason why the Green Party is so strong in Germany. It's the strongest Green Party in Europe. Yeah? And also in the last year, at the moment, it's the second strongest party. It's stronger than the Social Democratic Party in Germany. So, and I think it also depends on this. Yeah. Okay, I only talked about this landscape thing. No, I also talked a little bit about...
No, it's a really good answer. I'd like to pick up on the emotion that you talk about. I think it's your film, so you would, of course, have a very accurate perception about it. But I think that that really is a key element. I was thinking about the film, that same connection that Raoul mentioned. You know, sure, there's concern about this new technology, but what really seems to offend Hans and others too, but particularly Hans, is these totalitarian moments, right? This authoritarianism, police brutality, and so on. Okay, so it's a period movie, and it wonderfully captures this moment in the early 1980s. It's German, but it's especially Bavarian, and it's very local and regional. And so making this film in 2018, in a very different moment. That's a moment that belongs to Helmut Kohl and to Franz Josef Strauss and a lot of other things. But we've now had many years of Angela Merkel and somewhat softer politics, I suppose. And so one of the questions that that I have for you that concerns your film, but also sort of the broader picture, is where is that emotion now? I have a few ideas about where that emotion is. Is it present in the similar extent? Is there promise in that? Is the film speaking to it, or is it looking for that emotion once again to see if it can be revived and mobilized? That emotion that also, as you said, comes about when diverse groups come together around an idea and are impressive. So one of the things I noticed in your movie is that the way in which the destructive power or of nuclear energy or this waste processing plant is represented is through the destruction of the forest. Right? Because we don't actually see the plant go up. We see the plans, but what we see is a tree being just brutally uprooted and then stripped and so on. And there's several moments like that. And with the Hambacher Forest now, where a lot of emotion all of a sudden emerged, and it did cross against, went across a whole bunch of different ideological positions, let's say, and interests. That emotion, I think, is there again. And it seems it's once again the forest. It's the forest versus coal in this case. But it seems to capture a German imagination, that forest. But I read an interview or an article in which there were some interviews with some of the people who had been at Humvee for several years. And one of them mentioned, yeah, you know, I'll stay here for a while, as long as it's necessary, and then I will probably go and protest against wind turbines. And I realized, you know, for her, it's the forest. The forest comes first. Renewable energy, maybe, but the forest comes first. And I think that there's something, you know, and so that's a way of maybe asking a question about that emotion as well.
I start with the last thing. This forest thing is really a typical German thing. Forest is a kind of identity. Mm. And identity because, you know, the nationality it's not longer a good way for a German identity. Too much happened. But the after all cruels, the forest is still there. And hundreds of years before, Germany was full of forest. Nothing else was there on, just forest. And a lot of in literature or in music or something, or in classical music, it's about the forest. So it's a really a national symbol, I think. Yeah, that's the one thing. And so I did it, I want to show it in this way, just to show this brutality, to cut this, and that a machine is taking this tree and cut it and damage the tree without any emotions. Yeah, Germans have problems with the emotions, but they sometimes say it's easier for them to show their emotions to the trees than to humans. A little bit like in this way. So yeah, this was the decision to take the symbol. The first thing was this Hans. What was it that he?
Right, that what outraged him was the evidence that democratic process was not happening, and that in fact there was just
backroom deals. For today.
And the message for today. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I think it's interesting the last 2 years that in Germany, after a long period without any demonstrations or not important demonstrations, it starts again since 2 years. And it's a good sign. I want to show that if you have fear about nuclear or something else, fear is also a possibility to get power to go on street, and not that fear means, oh, I'm going just in my home, in my privacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Fear have power to create. Mm-hmm. And this, I hope the film is a positive sign. It's a motivation, a positive motivation, how to work, how to transform your fear in a creative power. And I think this is the most important thing, not only for Germany, it's for the whole world at the moment. Mm-hmm. We are full of fear, and there are so many enough reasons for this fear and serious reasons. But we have no chance. We have only one chance to do something. Nothing else will help us. Mm-hmm. And so this is important for me. And then I think we in Germany we are you know, next year we have this 30 years reunification jubilee, yeah, and I think we have now we begin really about to find a new identity, a really new identity for this Germany. The last 30 years was a time of confusion. Yeah, are we going the strong capitalists or traditionalists, or in the last years nationalists? Yeah, in this discussion about refugees and all these things, and yeah. I think the new growing protest movement, with also with the young people, yeah, this is a big chance for Germany to find really a identity which give us the possibility to show emotions not only to the trees, and also to. Yeah, to the world and to the problems. Yeah.
I was wondering about that. I'll just say something quickly because it's been on my mind a lot. I think that the, what is it called? The Fridays for
Future
movement, it's obviously not just German. Greta Thunberg has been to Berlin twice, I think. So it's international in a certain sense. And it seems to me it's the first genuine German demonstration or international demonstration that has climate, really has climate, you know, as its target. And where the connection with the Wald, with the forest maybe is it's probably still there, but it isn't, I don't think that the Wald, the forest, is going to be the symbol that carries this movement forward.
Yeah.
So I think that that's actually quite an important moment.
But this is—it's an international movement, sure. But for Germany, it's so interesting because we are so believers in rules.
Yeah.
And you have to go to school, okay, to a demonstration just for 1 hour in 1 week.
Yeah.
And at the moment, all parties in Germany, also the conservatives, say a little bit. They don't know how to handle this. Yeah, it's not possible to say no. You have to go to school. They all irritated.
Yeah.
And this is a good moment.
Thanks.
This is very helpful to think through forest and depth and emotions and subdued emotions and their expression. I was also just thinking that all of us have been talking a bit across the past, present, and futures. And I think another trope that I see about nuclear plant infrastructures is the scale. And one of the things that was there, like unbelievably, like 130 hectares or something mentioned. Another aspect being, again, this idea of that there is radioactivity everywhere, and it's a very natural phenomenon. So the nuclear processing plant or the nuclear reactor doesn't add anything in a way because it's already quite natural. So there is nothing too human made about it, or technology made about it. And I think these tropes continue to be so pivotal in the way it's at least branded by nuclear corporations all across, whether it's the United States, in India, and other places. The question I had was around the two characters in your film, beautifully acted, I thought, the character of Hans and Monica. And they're kind of, at some level, somewhat uncomfortable with one another, or displeasure with one another, conveyed sometimes rather in a subdued way, or in a somewhat less discernible way, and then it sort of finally the conversation happens, and there, as you said, this the politics of the street, there's a conversation mm-hmm. about that, and that scene with them then getting together inside a car. Say how you constructed that scene. Was it something that you constructed, or was it, since it's based on mm-hmm. real events, mm-hmm. was it part of that, or did you do that to emphasize that notion mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. politics changing? Mm-hmm. But you also talked about perhaps it does so many things, that scene, but also something about, as you've said, the kind of solidarity that was built across maybe leftist, environmentalist, conservative politicians, mm-hmm. priests, everything together. Mm-hmm. So say a bit about that scene. I'm very curious to hear you.
The scene in the bus, the scene is fiction, just that they sit in the bus. But the persons bus. Are real, also Monica. And maybe it's interest for you that Monica, the real Monica, is the mother of the actress. And the actress was really, when she was a little girl, she was with her mother every weekend at the demonstration. And so she grown up with it. Yeah. But for the actress, for her name is Anna, for the actress, she said always, oh, my childhood, it was always only in the wood, it was cold, and she never wanted to, she have no idea about this. And in school in Bavaria, until last year, the young people didn't learn about this event. Also, Anna not. Yeah. And she, in Decken, explored the great work of her mother, of her mother with the work in this film. Was very nice. So that's just a story. But the important thing is that really the social Gefüge, the social
network framework.
Framework in the region changed. Mm-hmm. That especially women become much more meaning. They started to talk about politics in public and so on, and it was a big change in this area. And after the victory of the protest, many of the men said, "Okay, now it's good enough. We go back to the old times," and there started the big conflict.
Yeah.
And for example, Monica, the real Monica, she's not a winner of this conflict. Mm. Today she lived still there, and she tried to work in different parties, but she always left it after 1 year, and today she has to work in little jobs and so on. Yeah. She was not, Gewinner.
She wasn't a winner.
She was not a winner of the situation personally, but she spent her life for this, and it was also very a nice moment at the first night when Hans, he's still alive, he's 89 today, and Monica, she came. He and she came together on stage, and he said, "Okay, it's a good film, but I have to say I was not the first one who was against it. It was people like you. Yeah. It's your victory." Mm-hmm. And this was, I think, very important for her, because she get and I think they, after the first night, they talked the first time since years together. Yeah. So it was really a society change. Mm-hmm. In a good way, on one hand. On the other side is if what you've seen with the friends of Hans, that many families also crashed because the one half said we are for this and against this, and these wounds are still exist. They exist until today. Mm. Nobody healed it. Yep. We feel it in this area, and this is also a big fault. Schuld heißt das Fault.
That's fault.
Fault. of the Bavarian politics, that after they ended this, they finished, they stopped this project, that they didn't try to heal these wounds until today. So I think the film is also a part for this work, I hope. And it's really, I'm so happy about this, since this year, 2019, the kids in school in Bavaria, they changed the plan for the kids have to learn, and in history they learned about this now.
Great.
Yeah, and this is not only, but a little bit also
contributed to it.
Has to do with the film and with that we show brought the film to the cinema. Also, the film was in cinemas in last autumn, directly to the same time when in Hambacher Forst the situation escalated, and then the stop for the cut the forest when the court decided in this way. Yeah, so it was also a good combination for the film and for reality.
Should we open it to questions?
Yeah. I have a question with regard to the role of religion, because Bavaria is generally associated with conservative Catholicism, and Franz Josef Strauss is a paradigmatic figure of that conservatism. In your film, you seem to stress the progressive side of religion, because the priest is a minor and at the same time a major figure. Before Hans, when Hans is wavering and hesitating, the priest is one of the major figures of the protest. And when you have that transition point in the film, then all the people are praying Our Father. So that was conspicuous to me. How do you see that role? Because people also often say, wir schaffen das, Merkel's Protestant background. There is something progressive in it. While we come from a time in Western Europe, I myself, I am from Belgium, so religion is something outdated, while in your film it seems to have a kind of force, of power. Or also for Hans, it is as if he is inspired by the priest. Or am I exaggerating?
Yeah, because it was the reality in the beginning of the protests. Many very religious people, religious women, older women, started to pray every Sunday in the wood at the at this area, the plan, against this. It was really a kind the starting moment, this religious moment, and it was it's necessary to know that the bishop. Mm-hmm. At the higher level of the church, they told the priests, also the Catholics and the Protestants, you don't have, it's not allowed to go to demonstrations, it's forbidden for you. Mm-hmm. And there was also a big cut in the church between the bishops, the higher level, and a normal priests. Mm-hmm. And but religion is all could, in a good way, in this way, it could be also a source of power, that you get power not from inner power, which give you also the power that to go against your fear. So I think it was important, and from the beginning until the end of the protest, the priest was very important figures in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And for Hans, it, you know, he is the original Hans, or he is a very socialistic, traditional. Mm-hmm. His father was in the concentration camp because he was a member of the Gewerkschaften.
Of the unions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And so he was very, this was his tradition. And he had nothing to do with religion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is also, it's a important lesson for democracy. That democracy means, for me, or I think it means, not that the loudest or that one person are right and the others not. Democracy is a way that we talk together and find the best compromise. Mm-hmm. That's the reason for democracy, not who had the majority. Mm-hmm. We have to find the compromise. And today, in Germany also, sometimes compromise is so boring or it has no power. Mm-hmm. The compromise is the only guarantee to live in peace together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Other questions?
I found myself asking a little bit as I was watching how you're curious about your decision to really center the film on Hans, and how whether you considered the idea of bringing it from Monica's perspective. But I was wondering how much, then I started to think to myself, is it really the uncertainty and the indecision are so central to sort of the movement of the film and of the democratic process that you're talking about. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your decision of sort of where to center.
We talked in the beginning of the project, and we talked many months about this. Who is our hero? Do we need a hero? Yeah, but we thought we don't want to show create a chronic, about the real historical things. We want to tell a story about a hero who not really wants to become a hero, but he. It was the way. Yeah, this was his way, and there are this original Hans with the story that's all real. Also with the law against him and all these things are real, really happened, And you know, he's not so attractive. He's conservative, you know, he's not so sexy like this. You mind what you know what I mean with sexy, not so he's not the underdog or something. And for me it was important to create a film that not only is for the people who already think, we are against politics and something like this, a conservative person. And he, also this conservative person has a chance for a change. Mm-hmm. And this, because when he really feels it's necessary, because, and so I think this is a good hero for our times. Mm-hmm. So. But I also, sometimes I see the film and I think, oh, so many men in this movie, only men, yeah. And it's my first movie with a man as a hero. Before then, always only women. But it was the time, I think. It is the time. And also in Bavaria in the 80s, it's the scene in the beginning when only men are in the, what restaurant is the wrong word, in this bar or something like this.
Can I add, you've mentioned that scene, and I'd like to ask a question about that scene and about Arbeitslosigkeit, because in the beginning you know, through that very, you know, he speaks from his heart. It's very difficult. There's that wonderful moment where you hear the catch of emotion in his voice. Es kommt mir nicht leicht, or something like that. And but then the first man stands up and upbraids him and leaves, and the others join, and he's standing in an empty room. A question is raised about Arbeit, right? Yeah. But the film or the story, neither really gives an answer to that question about Arbeit.
Yeah, I hope so.
No, I think it's, so I'm raising it because, you know, at the end, there are many people, but they're new companions. They're not his trade unionist party companions who are with him. It's these novel alliances that have been created that have proven to be powerful against state authority and so on. But they're demonstrating, and they're demonstrating against something that was attractive because it promised 3,000 jobs, right?
Yeah.
This is important for us now because part of the magic of the Green New Deal in the American imaginary is because there is that connection with Arbeit, with work.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering about how you're thinking, you know, what happened to Arbeit in this film?
To have work, Arbeit is important, but it's not an argument for every economic decision.
Yeah, right.
And you see, after, when the project stopped, you have seen the forest was cut down. Today there is a big industrial area with smaller enterprise companies, and the state give money that they go there and open factories there. And today more than, I think, 5,000 people are working there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In good jobs without any health risk. So, nobody told them about the health risks. Yeah, it's so great. It was not possible for us to show this, but during in this time in Germany, also in the early 80s, this famous film Silkwood from the States with Meryl Streep, he was in the cinemas also in there, and there are photos. You'll see there's a poster from the film in the background, and maybe you have thought about this. Why is this Amazing Grace at the? But it's a kind of, for me, it's a right song, and it's a kind of homage to this Silkwood film because at the end, Meryl Streep is singing Amazing Grace when Karen Silkwood crashed with the car, murdered.
Nice. Yeah, that's right.
So, what was the question? Work is not the argument for every economic decision. And it's possible to create jobs in another way. It's possible. You have to take the money and do this. We have the same discussion in Germany yet at Hambacher Forst.
Yeah.
It's also the same.
Yeah.
You have the same pictures with the police and the same argumentation, the same cut going through the society at this area. And we were also with the film there and showed the film, the protest movement there in Hambach. It was a great experience, and 30 years later, nobody, politics doesn't learn. I don't understand how this is possible. And I think it's an old argumentation with these jobs from last century.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new. We have to say the truth that this new digital world work will get became another position. I think we will not have enough work. Maybe it's not necessary that everybody's working. Maybe when he gets money another way, work is not the sense of life.